Genesis chapter 28. Let's stand together. We're going to read several verses and then we'll be seated. I'll read if you'll just kind of read along silently there. But Genesis 28 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took up the stones of that place and put them for his pillows." Could you imagine having a rock for a pillow? Man, I'm one of those that I twist and turn all night. I never seem to rest well unless I call Dr. NyQuil over to the nightstand. But I twist and turn all night, and sometimes I will wake up, and I'm not kidding. My pillow is twisted. It's completely twisted, and I'm trying to get comfortable. I couldn't imagine putting a rock underneath my head. He put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that," excuse me, "which I have spoken to thee of." And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar. And for you East Texas people, that's not another pillow. Okay, that's an altar. And poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Now, I want to preach this morning on the title of the message is A Fresh Start. A Fresh Start. I told Brother Richard, he was one of the men praying in the men's prayer meeting in my office this morning. And as he was praying, he said, "Lord, as you give us today something about God, as we start fresh today." And he got done with his prayer. I said, "Man, that's what I'm preaching on, a fresh start this morning." And so God was in that, a fresh start. Let's pray together. God, would you help us today to see this truth that will set us on a right footing for the next 52 weeks. And God, I pray that you'll stir hearts. And Lord, I pray if there's someone lost without Christ, whether they be in this room or, Lord, one of our children's churches, or Lord, someone watching online today, or someone watching this video online later down the road. I pray if they don't know Christ as their Savior, that God, you would knock at their heart's door, convict them of their sin and need for a Savior, need for salvation. And I pray, Lord, that they'll trust you as their Savior. I pray in this auditorium, if someone's lost, that when we give an invitation here in a little while, that they'd be willing to walk the aisle and let someone take a Bible and show them how to be saved. Lord, for us as Christians, both here and at home, I pray, God, that this message will challenge us today to do what it takes to be where we ought to be in our Christian life. Bless, I pray, and we'll thank you for what you'll do, and we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated in some ways. Today is a fresh start. 2023 is a book filled with 365 blank pages. I don't know if anyone in here keeps a diary, and maybe you started on day number one of 2023 today, but just life itself. 2022 is now a closed book. I rolled up the church's dry erase calendar yesterday, and this morning I came in my office and put away my 2022 calendar, and I was closing it just thinking it's done. It's over with. There's nothing we could do to change, 2022. But 2023 has not been written yet. We may only have pictures from 2022. That wedding, that was so last year. We may only have pictures from 2022, but we all have full potential still for 2023. The pages haven't been written. The pictures haven't been taken. Today's a fresh start. And we get to start it in church, January 1st, 2023. It's a fresh start for you personally. It's a fresh start for your marriage. It's a fresh start for your family. It's a fresh start for your walk with God. It's a fresh start for your job. It's a fresh start for your dreams and desires and plans. The Bible teaches us that we're to redeem the time. In other words, we're not to waste the time that God has given us. We are to make the best of every day that God gives us here on earth. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou go. So I want you to look at Genesis 35 with me. We're going to come back to Genesis 28 here in just a little bit, but look at Genesis 35 with me. And there in Genesis 28, we notice that Jacob was at a place called Bethel. Now I'm going to jump ahead some time, and actually quite a few years when you get to Genesis chapter 35. I didn't do the math, but it's obvious that it's many years later. And in Genesis 35 and verse number 1, look at what God said to Jacob. God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel. Arise, go up to Bethel, that place we read about in Genesis 28, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Now look up here, I'm going to tell you a story just for a brief moment. In Genesis 28, we see Jacob there at the place that would be named Bethel, and he had that meeting there with God. By the time we get seven chapters later to Genesis chapter 35, and God is telling Jacob, I want you to go back to Bethel, the point of that was that Jacob needed a fresh start. He needed a fresh start. Because as he came out of Genesis 28 and he went to Genesis 29, Jacob meets his wife and then his next wife. By Genesis 30, Jacob has four wives, 11 sons, and one daughter. Anybody that has one daughter needs a fresh start. Amen? No. By Genesis 31, Jacob has in-law problems. Notice in Genesis 31, when he's having these in-law problems, look at what God reminds Jacob of in Genesis 31 and verse 13. Excuse me, verse 13. He says, I am the God of Bethel. You see that? I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. In other words, what God is really, the point he's trying to get across to Jacob in the middle of his trouble is this. Don't go back on your vows, your promises, your commitments that you made to God just because life gets a little tough. Okay, so Genesis 28, Jacob meets with God there at Bethel. Genesis 29 and 30, he's having wives, he's having kids. Of course, polygamy was a thing in the Old Testament. And by Genesis 31, Jacob has in-law problems. By Genesis 32 and 33, Jacob is trying to reconcile a broken relationship with his brother Esau. And you remember how all of that started, how Jacob tricked his brother. So he thinks, man, my brother's coming to kill me. And so he's working to reconcile that relationship. At the same time, in Genesis 34, Jacob's one daughter gets raped. And a couple of Jacob's sons go to the town where their sister was raped, and they kill, they murder, they take justice into their own hands, but they murder many men of that city because of what those men had done to their sister. Okay, so by the time we get to Genesis 34, and look at verse number 30, Jacob's life was full of frustrations and fear. In Genesis 34 and verse number 30, and Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, two of his sons, ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. Okay, so Jacob, from chapter 28 to chapter 35, has, I didn't even do the story justice. He has a multitude of troubles and a multitude of trials. Jacob needed a fresh start. I want you to notice what happens in Genesis 35. God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, make thee an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Okay, so there we see Jacob. He is looking for a fresh start. Sometimes we need a fresh start. Thank God that He gives us a fresh start in a new year, such as this. Now, let me say this before we move on with the message. A fresh start, because we live in a weird world and we live in a very self-centered world today. A fresh start does not mean quitting on your marriage. Well, I just need a fresh start. That's not the way to do it in God's eyes. A fresh start does not mean quitting on your kids. Never give up on your kids at any age. Never stop praying for them. Now, one of the points in tonight's message is, part of the point is this, the reason we have some tough times in some years is because we're too busy financing older kids that need to figure it out for themselves. By the way, they will if we'll start figuring it out for them. And but never stop praying for your kids. Maybe stop paying for them, but never stop praying for those kids. A fresh start does not mean quitting on your church. People will do that. I probably said, well, we just need a fresh start, so we're going to go down the road. But the thing is, if we go down the road in rebellion, we're going to show up in rebellion. If we go down the road because we're backslidden, we're going to show up and be backslidden. The honeymoon, if we don't end things right wherever we are, whatever it is, the honeymoon is going to end eventually. Okay, a fresh start does not mean quitting your job. I know a lot of people are off tomorrow. Tomorrow's a holiday, national holiday, I guess, because of it being New Year's on a weekend. But when you go back to work, I would not suggest that night you go home and tell your wife, you know, honey, I just needed a fresh start. I quit my job. A fresh start does not mean quitting on God. You say, oh, people wouldn't do that. Yeah, friend, there are a lot of folks, I think, in Christianity today that are mad at God. That's why they stay down and depressed and doom and gloom. They don't like what God allowed in their life. And there are those, if you're not careful, you'll quit on God. I want to say this also. Young people, you listen to. A fresh start does not mean quitting on life. A fresh start does not mean quitting on life. You young people, God's got a plan for your life. And He's got some big dreams and some big goals for you if you'll just fully yield yourself to God and not let others pull you away from the Lord. But adults, same way. God's plan for us is not for us to quit on God, but not to quit on life either. He'll take us when He's ready for us. A fresh start simply means evaluating, prioritizing, finding balance, and getting back to the important things in life. It's getting back to a place where you once were. Hebrews 12:1 that we'll be in tonight, but it talks about laying aside the sin which doth so easily beset us. To surround, beset means to surround, to enclose, to entangle. And the Bible tells us we have to lay that sin aside. And isn't it amazing? Look at Genesis 35. Isn't it amazing when Jacob says, I don't like my life right now, and I don't like where I am right now, and God says, I want you to go back to Bethel, let's get a fresh start, let's start from there, and let me remind you of Bethel, let me remind you of some things. Isn't it amazing that as soon as Jacob says, you know what, things have got to change in this house, first thing he says is verse 2, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean. And change your garments. We won't even get into that today. Isn't that amazing that when Jacob said, things have got to change, I don't like the way things are, First thing Jacob did is start cleaning up the sin that was in his life and the sin that was in his kid's life and the sin that he had allowed into his home. And he said, you know what? We know we're not right about some areas. Let's get right about those areas and then let's get close to God again and let's see what God can do in our life. Sometimes before we can get to where we want to be, we have to first deal with sin. Maybe it's a sinful attitude. Maybe it's a sinful tongue. The messages go kind of hand in hand today, so we'll get into that with a little more detail tonight. But maybe it's a sinful heart. Maybe it's a sinful affection in your life that you've allowed. And you say, I want to be there, but I'm here. But friend, we often know what it is in our life that hasn't been dealt with. For Jacob, a fresh start meant going back to Bethel. And once we see what Bethel pictures, I believe that you and I will see that our fresh start also comes by going back to Bethel. By the way, if you didn't know it, the word Bethel means the house of God. The house of God. Now, this message is not about getting back to church, getting back to going to church faithfully. But I tell you what, we ought to make the house of God important on our 2023 calendar. And we ought to say, you know what? If they're having a revival, we're going to be there. If they're going to have a Sunday, we're going to be there. If the church is getting together for fellowship, it's healthy for us to be there in fellowship with the people of God. The psalmist said this. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He didn't say I was mad when they said it's church time. He didn't say I was sad when they said I had to get up and get ready for church. He said I was glad when they said, hey, what day is it? Hey, it's the Lord's Day. It's church day. What day is it? It's Monday, but we have revival tonight. It's Tuesday, but we have revival tonight. Hey, what day is it? It's Wednesday, but we need that shot in the arm. We're not going to stay home tonight. Get back to the house of God. Look at Genesis 28. Genesis chapter 28, where we started this morning, that's where I want to take the points from. What does it mean to get a fresh start? Genesis 28, a fresh start begins by going back to a place in our life where, number one, where we live by God's promises. Where we live by God's promises. I think we just sang that, didn't we? Standing on the promises. Look at what happened there in verse 10, Genesis 28, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Right? So what we're reading there in Genesis 28, we're reading how that God gave Jacob the same promise that he gave to Abraham and that he gave to Isaac. He was giving that Abraham covenant to Jacob there at Bethel. The same promise given to Abraham, which was Jacob's grandpa. The same promise given to Isaac, which was Jacob's dad. And those same promises were available there for Jacob in his life. I thought about that song. It was good for my daddy. It was good for my daddy. It was good for my daddy. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Friend, listen, I would just take the promises of God and just say, you know what? That's what we're going to live by. Let the world say what they want. Let the backslidden Christians say what they want. We're standing on the promises of God. And we're going to be obedient to God and believe that God, this is what God wants us to do. I like that song, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, all are blessings of His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. There are thousands of promises in the Bible. A fresh start comes in our life when we choose to faithfully follow the Lord as we live by His promises. We could go all day just giving you the promises of God. But what about I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee? So those days when you feel alone, you feel like you have no friends, you feel like your spouse doesn't understand, claim the promise of God. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But what about those days where we feel like I can't believe the electric bill is so high and I didn't get that raise I was looking for and then the car broke down and what are we going to do? How about claiming that promise, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so I don't know what to do here. I can't find an answer to this problem in my life. What about this? Ask and you shall receive. How about we just start praying and seeing what God will do rather than living in worry and fear and popping pills and trying to put ourselves to sleep at night? Why don't we just leave it with the Lord and say, God, I'm trusting in your promises. I don't believe you'd lie to me. The Word of God says He cannot lie in two different places. And so if God said it in His Word, that settles it for my life and for my home. Going back, getting a fresh start means going back to the place in our life where we live by God's promises. Can I say secondly is this? I have five. Secondly is this. A fresh start comes by going back to the place number two, where we trust in God's presence. We trust in God's presence. And there in chapter 28, He gave him the promise. But then look at verse number 15. Behold, I am with thee. I like what Moses said when he was leading the children of Israel, and he had this conversation with God. And in Exodus 33, Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou also hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he, God, said to Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. I love what Moses said. He said unto him, Moses said to God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses said, if God's with me, things are going to be great. But if God's not going with me, I'm not going. I want to go in the direction that God's going in. Where we getting a fresh start means going back to the place where we trust in God's presence. I'm not going to sing this song to you. It's one of the old Lester Roloff songs he used to sing. Just listen to the words of it and see if it's not true in your life and in mine. Jesus will walk with me down through the valley. Jesus will walk with me over the plain. When in the shadow or when in the sunshine, if He goes with me, I shall not complain. Jesus will walk with me when I am tempted, giving me strength as my need may demand. When in affliction, His presence is near me. I am upheld by His almighty hand. Jesus will walk with me, guarding me ever, giving me victory through storm and through strife. He is my comforter, counselor, leader over the uneven journey of life. Jesus will walk with me in life's fair morning, and when the shadows of evening must come, living or dying, He will not forsake me. Jesus will walk with me all the way home. Then the chorus, Jesus will walk with me. He will talk with me. He will walk with me in joy or in sorrow. Today and tomorrow, I know He will walk with me. And I got to live life based on, you know what? God gave me some promises in the Bible. And I'm just going to obey those. I'm just going to obey those promises. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Okay, there's a promise. I'm just going to do it God's way. Well, they say it doesn't work anymore. Yeah, it still works because it's still God's word. Well, what about that family? They quit. You know, I'm sorry they quit, but I tell you what, I'm going to keep doing things God's way. We're going to keep trusting God's promise, and we're going to keep trusting God's presence in our life. Number three is this. A fresh start comes in our life when we get back to the place where we focus on God's purpose. Focus on God's purpose. In other words, what is God's purpose for you being here in this life? Listen to what He said in Genesis 28 and verse 15. After He promised His presence, behold, I am with thee. Will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. He says to Jacob, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. He said, Jacob, I'm going to do with you exactly what I said I would do your life. I thought about the Apostle Paul on the day that he was saved. And the Bible tells it this way in Acts 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Of course, Saul, as later would be Paul, but he hated churches, he hated Christians. He was on his way to take some to prison, but he got saved that day. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He said, the Lord, of course, knows what's going on in our heart. And he said to Saul of Tarsus, he said, I know you're under conviction. I know that pricking. I know that knocking at your heart's door. I know you know you need to be born again. And I know that you know that I'm the Savior. And so there on that road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus trusted Christ. He got born again. And the Bible says right after he was saved, he, Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. You can live your entire life the next 12 months, and you can pay rent, or you can pay mortgage. You can pay the electric bill. You can drive a nice little car, a nice little truck. You can buy little outfits for your kids and that sort of stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're not in the center of God's will, none of that's ever going to make you happy, and it's never going to replace being obedient to God. But if you are in the dead center of God's will, then whether you have that stuff or you don't have that stuff, doesn't matter. You're just going to be happy in the Lord because you know you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. And by the way, God has something for you to do or you wouldn't be breathing right now. He said, it will be told thee what thou must do. I'm not going to preach on it today, but probably will sometime in January. But well, everybody at Trinity Baptist Church ought to have a place. You ought to have a place. Somebody asked me earlier, did so-and-so tell you we're going to be here? I said, half of no one calls me anymore to let me know that they're not going to be here. But friend, listen, it ought to be when you're not here, you're missed because there's some place. Whether it's teaching a class, whether it's leading some singing, whether it's picking up trash in the ditch, whether it's opening the door, whether it's keeping the nursery with the screaming babies, whether it's working in the bus church or working in the children's church or playing an instrument or vacuuming the floor. Hey, there ought to be something in your life that you do in and through the local New Testament church. God's got a must for your life. The best plan for you and your family is to be in the perfect will of God. You say, preacher, how do I know what God wants for my life? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Show up to church faithfully. Listen as the Sunday school teacher teaches. And listen as the Word of God is preached. And if we'll do what we know God wants us to do, God will reveal to us His special purpose for our life. God's got a plan for you. I know a lot of preachers that they can preach. I know some. I laugh at some, but I know a lot of preachers that can preach. And I mean, people could be doing somersaults and they're just looking at they're preaching away. Not me. I'm trying to preach and looking at y'all to just see the New Year's you. Drool coming out. Is anybody listening? I'll give you two more and you can go home and get a nap. Number four, a fresh start means getting back to the place where we recognize God's provisions. A fresh start. See, we start doing our own thing because we think we just don't have what somebody else has. And maybe some of you went through that at holiday time. Maybe you went to some sister's house or brother's house or cousin's house or grandparent or whatever. And you thought, boy, we don't have what they have. Don't let the devil do that to you. You don't know how much debt they have. And even if they don't have debt, I mean, they maybe have been in a career for 20 or 30 years. And I mean, you're 21. I mean, you're not going to have that stuff. at 21 and 25 and 30 years old. It takes a while. But don't let the devil do that to you, to make you think that here I am going to church and doing right and doing what God wants me to do, and yet I'm so missing out on so much stuff. That's exactly what the devil, the Bible talks about the fleshly lust that war against the soul, that war, that just fight you. And why don't we just give up and go there and give up and do that? We need to learn to recognize God's provisions. If you're still in Genesis 28 and you're still awake, if you look at verse number 20, the Bible says, "And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go," notice, "and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on." Now, as you read that, what that really was Jacob's pathetic attempt to bargain with God. God gave us our breath. He gave us our life. He gave us our salvation. Are you looking, Christian? Look up here for just a minute. There are no ifs. He's already done it. I'll tell you, we're going to give this year, but if it doesn't, if I don't win the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I mean, we're putting God to the test. You don't put God to the test. Well, if God will do this, I'll be in church next Sunday. God's already done all He needs to do. We need to learn to recognize that. So yes, Jacob, it's really just a pathetic attempt there, God, if you'll do this. But in the midst of that verse, we do recognize God's provision. The food, the clothing. The Bible says this, just listen to it. In Matthew 6 and verse 24, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon and money. And there will be those in our church this year, your job will be more important to you than the house of God. I realize we have those that work shifts. I realize we have those that have to travel from time to time. But bless God, if you're home, you ought to be in the house of God. Amen. Weary of the Christians whose attitude is, we're more tired than someone else. Weary of the Christians, oh, we got little kids, so we can't help do anything because we have little kids and you don't have little kids. Weary of that stuff, friend. It's about being faithful. It's about having a servant's heart. It's about being involved. No man can serve two masters. Therefore, I say unto you that take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. He's saying, don't worry about the basics. Nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the ovens, cast in the oven in August. But look at it right now. It's just dead out there. But it won't be long, it'll start turning green. It won't be long, we'll start seeing those flowers again. He says, God does all that. The ground doesn't have to do any work. So therefore, take no thought, saying, what should we eat or what should we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He's not saying, don't plan there. He's saying, Why are we so, I got to get that overtime. I got to get that. That's another thing. If we're volunteering for overtime, takes out of the house of God, that's wrong. That is wrong. Have faith in God and be faithful to the house of God. For after these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and he said this, he said, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I have one more point, but let me pause here for just a moment and say this. Christians, we need to be mindful of what a need is versus what a want is. Things happen in our life, right? Vehicles break down. We have to deal with a vehicle broken down. What happens in our life? I opened my screen door the other day, and it was the little glass screen door on our house, and it was broken. You know, those pier and beam houses, they do the shake, rattle, and roll. You know, they move around, and so I had three hinges, and two of those hinges were broken, and the little arm on it, it was cracking, and it was on its third hinge, and I thought, you know, before the next toll front, that was a test for all of us, right? What needs to be fixed? And I thought, you know, it's not that expensive. I'll slap a new screen door on there. I walked out of the house Friday morning, and the hinge decided to break. It twists. It goes, bam, and hits me in the top of the head. My first response was, or we could go to Golden Corral. No, never mind. My first thought was, why didn't that happen to Miss Ogden? She walked out 10 minutes before I did. So that night I went and grabbed a door and put it, put on. You know, sometimes things happen that you can't. I had to get a breaker, just a breaker for the house the other day that was $50-something. But a lot of times teenagers and some brand new young adults, they don't quite understand how expensive life is. Well, sometimes, yeah, there are some needs. And hey, sometimes God gives us some wants, doesn't he? We get to go on a trip, or we get to have things, or we get to whatever. But let's not blame God because we don't live in a mansion. I got a mansion just over the hilltop. Let's make sure that we're taking care of our needs as priorities, and God will supply our needs. And you say, well, but I haven't had this in so long, and I haven't had that in so long. But, you know, the older I get, the more I'm realizing cornbread and beans is a pretty good meal. Slap some rice in there. Used to put macaroni and cheese in there. That's a good mix. But the old broken down body ain't working the way it used to. So, got to cut back. I ate two pieces of pepperoni pizza at that wedding rehearsal the other night. And I ate them past 7 without thinking. And so I had dreams of stairways going up and down from heaven, stuff. We need to start recognizing God's provisions and being thankful for it. I'm not trying to be ugly, and I love you. And I said I have great faith in our church. We've really done a lot of stuff together. We're all different personalities, and we have different priorities and whatever. But could I just beg all of us to do this? Please don't come up to me and tell me why you can't tithe. Because you can tithe. It's just not your priority. No, can't give the missions. You can. You just won't. That's not your priority. Let's thank God for his provision. God takes such good care of us. And sometimes, man, things break and we wonder, oh, how in the world are we going to get through this? But doesn't God always get us through it? You need a fresh start this morning. Go back to living by God's promises. Go back to trusting in God's presence. God before us, who can be against us? Go back to focusing on God's purpose for your life. What's God's purpose for your life? You moms in here, sometimes moms get discouraged because something like their whole life is about dealing with kids and the next diaper or the next one that needs something or the next question. And then a lot of you are dealing with homeschooling, and we know what kind of but it's just like it's never ending. But there's a part of you that has to celebrate that purpose also. That one of these days, those are going to be grown adults, and you will sit there as a mother thinking there's success in that. Before we went to sleep last night, about 10, like old people, Miss Hodges said, did you check on the kids? I said, they're grown adults. Here though, Mama. Woke up this morning, first thing she asked me, did the kids make it home last night? I said, I don't know. They're grown adults. You're the mama. There's something about you moms being nurturing, something about our dads just being, hey, as long as they didn't ride home on a flat tire or mess with my insurance, then we're good. So thank God for your purpose. Can I say something to guys here? Sometimes it wears on us to be the one responsible for paying, fixing. Here's the next thing. There's the next thing. But God's got a purpose in your life. Rather than fighting against these things and being miserable in life, why don't we use those as a challenge? Say, you know what? That's God has me here to take care of my family. And God has me here to make sure my family's in church. And God has me here to serve the Lord. And men, let's do what it takes to lead our family the right way. Get a fresh start. Go back to living by God's promises. Go back to trusting in God's presence. Go back to focusing on God's purpose. Go back to recognizing and being grateful for God's provisions. I've got an old house, but I'm thankful for it. It's paid off. We might have had to put some tape around the front door to keep the wind from coming in. But it's paid off. I can buy a door. And I will, but I'm waiting on it to fall on somebody else's head. Last one is this. A fresh start means getting back to the place, number five, where we go back to obeying God's precepts. Notice it in verse 22. Again, Jacob, he's trying to bargain with God, but what he says is the last part is right. This stone, which I've set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. The word tithe means tenth. Now, this verse is just an example of obeying what God's word says for your life and mine. But can I tell you, on January 1st, that's a pretty good start. Maybe you haven't written out your budget for the month yet. I do mine the week before, so it's done. But, I mean, putting God first in your finances, that's a pretty good start for your family for the new year. But, oh, there's far more to obey, because there are those that send in their tithes but don't show up to church. And I realize there are some shut-ins, and I understand. I get that completely. But friend, you can't pay anybody to obey God for you. And then there are those who show up to church, and some of you serve in areas, but you don't tithe. How about we just decide, you know what? Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Do you need a fresh start this morning? I know we're just few in the building, but maybe someone needs a fresh start called salvation. You need to be born again. I said it last Sunday on Christmas morning that what a day on Christmas morning celebrating the birth of Christ. What a day to be able to look back every year of your life and celebrate your salvation. But what about January 1st? What about the first day of this year? Maybe God's been dealing with your heart about a need to be saved. What about today, be born again? And the entire year you're saved. And the entire next year you're saved. And for the rest of your life you're saved. And when you die, you get to go home to be with Jesus. Got a letter the other day from Brother Swanky. Every year I get a letter from him at the first of the year. And it said, boy, the days are getting evil, aren't they? And it said, here's the dates of our meeting, which is not again until 2025. But he said, here's the dates of our meeting. But he said, maybe that meeting will be in the air. Folks, it's not going to get any better. I don't care who becomes president when. I don't care who becomes Speaker of the House when. We live in a wicked, sinful world. I need to be saved. And not just January 1st, but from time to time, you know what I need? I need a fresh start. A fresh start. He had gone through life, and you know how life can be. We all have our stories. And God said, Jacob, go back to Bethel. Go back to the house of God. Go back to the place where I met with you. And I gave you promises, and I said, I'll provide for you. And I said, I'd never leave you nor forsake you. And I said that I'll do with you what I first told you I would do with you. I'm still going to fulfill that. And he says, I want you to trust in my provision. Be grateful for it. Quit complaining about how bad your life is. And he said, and I want you to get back where you said you'd obey my book. You said you'd obey my precepts. I want you to go back to that place. Maybe today you need a fresh start. Why don't you just come to the altar and make this the place? Confess sin to God and just say, Lord, this is it. I want to dedicate my life to you. And I want to dedicate this year to you and see what God will do in 2023.